Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Thank you, Robert. It's indeed a pleasure to have the opportunity to be here with you this morning. Our scripture reading for this morning comes from Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we'll be reading beginning with verse 18. We'll read that and then we will make some references to the Old Testament before we come back to this passage. But it is indeed a pleasure to be here with you. This is a church that's a strong church and an outstanding church as a part of the Mississippi Baptist Convention. And I'm honored to be here today. From Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 18, we see that Jesus has come to the Gadarene. He has come and he has healed a man. We've probably read about this from the time that we were very young. We've heard how Jesus healed the man who was demon-possessed. How when Jesus healed this man, the demons that were taken from the man went into the swine and they went into the sea and were choked. And how Jesus was invited into the town. Jesus came into the city and there he was with the people for a little while. But the people did not know how to deal with a man who could heal. And Jesus didn't stay there very long. Jesus makes his way back down to the ship, and then he finds the young man there with him, beginning in verse 18. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful for this opportunity to come to your house for corporate worship. As we worship you as a group, Father, may we see the singular nature of worship of you. May we as individuals bow before you, evaluate our relationship with you. Father, help us to be what you would have us to be. Father, may we be willing, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 6, it has been a very difficult time for God's people. If you can imagine having a national leader who had been in place for 52 years, that person had led the nation of Israel, and he had died. So as Isaiah was penning the words, he let everyone know when these words were penned. He says, "In the year King Uzziah died." When Uzziah died, the Lord came to Isaiah. And he said to Isaiah, "Isaiah, who will go? Who will speak for us? Who will go?" Isaiah perceived, correctly so, that that call to go was to him. But Isaiah said, "Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of people of unclean lips. How can I be used of you?" The Lord sent an angel, took a burning coal from the altar, placed it on the lips of Isaiah. And his lips were made clean, and he said, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Hundreds of years before that, Moses was tending the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. After he had come out of Egypt, after he had killed an Egyptian soldier, he met Jethro, eventually married one of Jethro's daughters. He was out tending the sheep, and he saw a bush that was burning, but yet it was not consumed. And Moses turned aside and said, "I want to see about this bush." And he goes to the bush, and as he approaches the bush, he is told that he's on holy ground. He bows down, removes his sandals, places his face toward the ground. And the Lord begins to speak to Moses. "Moses, I want you to go. I want you to go to a place that you know. The place is Egypt. I want you to go back to Egypt. I want you to tell the Pharaoh, 'Let my people go.' I want you to bring my people out of bondage." Moses began to question, "Lord, how will they know that you sent me?" The Lord said, "Moses, what's that in your hand?" And he says, "My rod. It's my rod that I use every day." He said, "Moses, release the rod." And Moses did. The rod became a serpent. Moses reached down and picked up that rod, pick it up by the tail, and he did. Once again, that serpent became a rod. He said, "Moses, see, I will show them that I have sent you." And then there's dialogue that goes back and forth between Moses and God. But Moses, after a little while of talking, everything sounds good, and then the doubt begins to come in again. And he said, "But Lord, I don't speak well. I don't speak well at all. I stammer when I speak. How can you possibly use me to go and to ask your people for the delivery of your people from Pharaoh?" And he says, "Moses, you remember your brother Aaron?" And he says, "Of course I remember my brother Aaron. He's back in Egypt." And God said, "He's already on his way to meet you. Moses, I'm going to speak through you. Aaron will speak for you." God is saying to Moses, "I have a plan. I have prepared the way. I will see it done. I am with you." God has been in the calling business for many years. Since the beginning of time, God has called people to be used of Him. And always there's the question, as it was with Moses and then hundreds of years later, Isaiah, am I willing? Am I willing to go if God calls me to go? And God is still in the calling business today. For many years, 33 as a matter of fact, I was on a college campus as an administrator. And every year at this time of the year, college students who had been called would come and prepare to do what God had for them to do. They were willing. And that's happening now. God is in the business of calling young people to do what He would have them to do. Missions, pastoring, youth ministry. God is calling young people to go today. But God is not just calling young people. Too many times we as adults think that call is for the young. And it is for the young, but it's not only for the young. While I was at the Baptist Children's Village over the past almost 13 years, just before I retired a few months ago, had the opportunity to speak in approximately 400 churches in Mississippi over that 13-year period. And as I would go into those churches, some very small, some very large, many of the churches were pastored by bivocational pastors who were called when they were in their working years. The age of many of you here today. God is in the calling business, not only for young people, but people who are working. God calls them out to serve, to go and pastor, maybe to missions, maybe to be bivocational pastors. But God is in the calling business today. But the question is, am I willing to go if God calls me to go? God's in the calling business for those of us who are seniors. It's hard for me to admit that, being a senior. Most of the things I've done in my life, I was the youngest person to do it, or one of the youngest. Now I'm a senior. But God blesses us with longer life than generations in the past have had. We have longer in retirement, longer when our time at the business is slowing down. And God is calling seniors today like He never has before, because there are opportunities out there. When I was president of Louisiana College, I had the opportunity, because I was on the board of the Consortium for Global Education, which is a Baptist agency of which you probably never heard, and it's intended that way. This is an agency that would go to countries where missionaries couldn't go and set up exchange programs where students from Baptist colleges could go to institutions there. And students from there who were not Christians could come to Baptist colleges. Because I was on the board, I traveled to many places in the world. I was in about 1998, 99, somewhere along in there. I was in Nepal. I was in Kathmandu. There happened to be a group that was there from another church in Louisiana. And I was headed from Nepal to a place where missionaries couldn't go. But while I was in Nepal, people thought it would be good if I met someone from Louisiana, being that I was president of Louisiana College. There was a person that they particularly wanted me to meet. This guy wanted to do as the people did in that part of the country, and people went around on scooters. Not a lot of cars. Lots of people, narrow streets. Not a lot of cars. In Kathmandu, he got on a scooter. Well, in Shreveport, Louisiana, he never rode a scooter. But went in Rome, you know. So he's riding around in the scooter, on a scooter. The road took a turn, and he didn't. He broke his arm. And the man said to me, "You know, they set my arm here in Kathmandu just like they would have at the hospital in Shreveport." One of the things we seniors think about is medical care. Medical care is great around the world. If God calls you to go on a mission trip, you will be cared for. And you will travel with ease. On one of these trips, I left Pineville, home of Louisiana College, went across the river to Alexandria. I was gone for, 18, 20 hours. And I called my wife, Janet, back in Pineville. She said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Nothing's wrong." She said, "But you haven't left yet." I said, "Honey, I'm in Beijing." She said, "You sound like you're next door." One of the things we seniors want to do is communicate. Not so much with the kids, but with the grandkids. They grow. You know, the kids are going to stay the same. It's not that we don't have anything against the children. But our children don't change. My two daughters don't change very much. My three grandchildren do. I want to FaceTime with them. I want to you know, I want to communicate with them. If God called you to go and you go, you're going to be taken care of where you are. You're going to travel with ease and be there. You're going to be able to communicate with your family. I communicated with my office in Pineville, Louisiana every day. God's calling seniors. God's calling people in their working years. God's calling students. And the question is, am I willing, if God calls me, am I willing to go if God calls me to go? And I pray that if God's calling you to go, that you will be willing. Now, you might have thought that you would hear something like that this morning. You could have thought, well, what's he going to talk about? You might have thought, well, he might say something like, if you're called to go, I hope you're willing to go. That's question number one. Question number two, you may not have thought about. Young man who's demon-possessed. Everyone knew him. Now, they might not have known the people that happened to live 10 doors down from him, but everybody knew this person because he was the demon-possessed man. I think of him as a young man that everyone knew. They knew him, scars and all. See, the scripture tells us in the verses just before those I read, that when he would go into his fits of rage, when those demons would rear their ugly heads, this young man would take stones and he would cut himself, leaving scars. He would cut himself. And there were people that took pity on him, and they would try to subdue him. They would put his arms down by his side and wrap him up with tethers, what we would call ropes. And he would pull against them, and there would be rope burns, more scars. He was a scarred young man. So Jesus appears on this day. Jesus heals him. Jesus goes into the city, and this gives the young man some time to think. And while he's thinking, the scripture says he's in his right mind. Now imagine this. All of us, for young people, your parents, your grandparents, the people that are teaching you in Bible study, your teachers, everyone has done something that's embarrassing. You might think, oh, it's just me. I'm the only one who's ever been singled out, because I see some looks of people saying, yeah, I've done something embarrassing. Everyone has done something that's embarrassing. But we can't hold a candle, none of us, to this young man. He had demons living inside of him. And Jesus healed him. And then as he began to think, he said, what am I going to do? I've been demon-possessed for years. People are always going to see me as the demon-possessed man. And I'm scarred. And everyone knows I'm scarred. I am broken. So he hangs around the boat saying, he's got to come back sooner or later. So Jesus makes his way back down to the boat. And as he's approaching the boat, the young man who's demon-possessed, now, scripture says, clothed and in his right mind, comes up to Jesus. And he said, Lord, let me go with you. Now that's what the scripture says he said. But I conjecture, and this is conjecture on my part, that while he was saying that, what he was thinking is, Lord, let me go with you so I can be away from these people that know me for who I was, scars and all. Let me go away. Jesus looked at him. And as Jesus was looking at him, he said, no, you can't go away with me. And again, conjecture on my part. But if that's all Jesus had said to him, I don't think we'd be reading about it. If Jesus had just simply said, no, you can't go. I want you to stay. If that had been, there had been a period there and there had been nothing else, I really don't think we would be reading about it in the scripture. Because when all of us have read about this, we've focused on Jesus healing him. And most of the time, we haven't focused on what happened after. Jesus said to him, you can't go with me, but I want you to stay here. And I want you to tell your family and your friends what wonderful things the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Jesus didn't say to this young man, I want you to go and preach a sermon for me, 3 points in a poem. He didn't say that. Just tell the people around you what I did for you. The scripture says that the young man was willing to stay and willing to do what the Lord had for him to do. And he told those around him. And the scripture says, and all the people were amazed. Another translation says, and all people did marvel because they knew him, scars and all, and they saw the difference that Jesus made. If you earlier said to the answer to the question, am I willing to go if God calls me to go? If you said, no, the Lord is not calling me to go. I'm willing to go, but the Lord's not calling you to go. If the Lord is not calling you to go, what's the option? God is calling you to stay. And just like this young man, he's not saying, stay, period. He's saying, stay and tell others what wonderful things the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Remember, all of us have had embarrassing moments. All of us have our scars. They may not be physical, but we've all messed up. And you know, the people around this room know when you do. I grew up 38 miles from here, a small town called Prentice. Brookhaven's bigger, still a small town. People know. People talk. But when you think about Jesus has forgiven me for those mistakes, and you tell others about that, people will marvel. People will be amazed. Am I willing to go if God calls me to go? Am I willing to stay and tell others what the Lord means to me, to my family? Am I willing to tell them? But they know. But when's the last time you've told them? Those with whom you go to school, those with whom you work, am I willing to tell them what the Lord has done for me? Am I willing to go? Am I willing to stay and tell others what the Lord has done for me? Third question, most important question. Am I willing to accept the great gift of love that the Lord has given for me. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus is talking to what I believe to be a small group of people. He's talking to them, and as he speaks to them, he sees someone coming toward him. Now, if someone were to get up near the back of the auditorium here and start coming down the aisle, it would be noticeable. But if the person came very quickly down the aisle, it would be very noticeable. There's a young man that's coming toward Jesus, and Jesus notices him. And the scripture says, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Jesus saw him coming, and Jesus loved that young man. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Another translation says, Jesus looked straight at him with love. But the young man comes, and Jesus is finishing up what he's saying to the other people, and the young man says to him, Master, what must I do to gain eternal life? And Jesus says, keep the commandments. And the young man begins to smile because his response is, I've kept the commandments since I was very young. Then Jesus says to him, take what you have and give it to the poor. Take what you have and sell it and make sure it goes to the poor. Then the scripture turns a little more bleak. And it says the young man turned and he went away in sorrow because his possessions were many. Now I want us to focus on two things here. First, there's something we know and there's something we don't. What we don't know is when that young man turned and went away from Jesus, we don't know what he did. He may have turned and kept walking and kept walking, carrying him farther and farther from Jesus. But we don't know if months from then, or perhaps after Jesus died on the cross, we don't know what that young man did. He may have accepted Christ. We don't know. That's what we don't know. But what is it that we do know? Because it doesn't talk about him anymore. It says he turns and he goes away. But what do we still know? What do we know? That just as when Jesus saw him coming at him quickly, it says Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Or Jesus looked straight at him with love. When he turned and went away, what do we know? Jesus still loved him. And Jesus died for him. So the question comes to that person who's thought of coming to Christ, and that person's turned away and said, no, I'm too scarred. I'm unworthy. I can't. I would be embarrassed. What do we know? If that person's you, you know this. Jesus still loves you. And Jesus died for you. And he's waiting for you to come to him. And repent, which is just a fancy word that someone came up with years ago. All it means is turn away. Open your heart's door, invite Jesus in, and turn away from sin. Turn away from sin and invite Jesus in. Jesus still loves you. And this may be the time that he has for you to come to him. Am I willing to accept God's great gift of love, which is given for me in Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, who died for my sin, and is resurrected to be at the right hand of the throne of God? Am I willing? Fourth and final question. Am I willing to simply say, Thy will be done? Thy will be done. Matthew chapter 26, Jesus has finished the Last Supper with his disciples in what we call the upper room. They finished in the upper room, and he leads his disciples, and they leave the upper room, and they go across the valley of Kedron, across the brook of Kedron, to the Mount of Olives on the other side. When they get on the other side, Jesus tells some of his disciples, wait and pray here. Takes Peter and James and John, and he tells them, wait and pray here while I go yonder and pray. And Jesus goes a little further, and he said, Oh Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The cup, the cross. Let this pass from me if there's any other way. Then he says, if it's not possible, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Am I, as Christ, willing to say, not my will, but thine be done? Am I willing to go if God calls me to go? Am I willing to stay if God calls me to stay and tell others right here what wonderful things the Lord has done for me? And perhaps it's more important than ever that you do that. Now, while you're without a pastor, tell others what wonderful things the Lord has done for you. Am I willing to accept Christ as my Savior? The one who loved me and died for me. Am I willing simply to say, not my will, but thy will be done? Let us pray together. Father, for your great love for us, we are grateful. Father, we are thankful that we are allowed to be here on this day in this your church. That's a shining light for you in this community. Father, we pray that if there be one here who's not yet accepted Christ as Savior, that they will indeed open their heart's door, that they will accept your Son Jesus as their personal Savior. They will repent or turn away from their sin and follow Him. Father, for those of us who know Christ as Savior, may we be willing servants. May we go if you call us to go. Wherever you lead, we will go. Father, if you call us to stay here, may we be willing servants in this, your community. May we tell others what wonderful things the Lord has done for us and how he has had mercy on us. And Father, may we be willing simply to say, not my will, but thine be done. May we yield to you in all that we do. May your will be done in this time of decision. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Phil will be here at the front as we stand and sing.